The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. It is a summary of the pastimes of Lord Ram. One of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs he sings, Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. Madhavatiti means those special occasions, special anniversaries to do with Madhava, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, or Lord Ram also. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in any of his forms. So those Madhavatitis, those special holy days, Bhakati Janani. Janani means the mother, she from whom one takes birth. So, Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. That if we observe those holy days, those special occasions to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then, Bhakati Janani, these will be the mothers of our devotional mood, the mothers of our bhakti, our spiritual mood. So that's very important. Mother, of course, gives birth, but then mother, having given birth, then the mother nourishes and protects the child. So similarly, if we observe these occasions very nicely and actually become absorbed in them by doing some special service for the Supreme Lord or whoever it may be, that particular occasion. Today is Lord Ram, or tomorrow at least, Lord Ram's appearance day. But it may be Krishna's appearance day. It may be Prabhupada's appearance day or disappearance day or one of the great acharyas or any of the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we observe those occasions very nicely, then, and we actually approach the particular person involved and pray to them, appeal to them, and try to render some special service to them on their special day, then they will recognize us and they will accept us and they will give us their mercy. So in this way, Bhakati Janani, our devotional spirit, our mood of bhakti, Krishna consciousness, this will be nourished and protected. Yes, so, today or tomorrow, this period at least, this is particularly connected with Lord Ram and his appearance. So if we serve him nicely means to glorify him first of all, chant his holy names, and really actually focus very nicely on those holy names, and to read about his pastimes and remember his pastimes and talk about his pastimes and his qualities. So we should do those things. And also try to serve him. Do some service here at the temple to help the development of this Krishna consciousness movement like this. We should try to do something practical for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. In this case, for the pleasure of Lord Ram on this occasion of his appearance. And then, Bhakati Janani, we will find that our Krishna consciousness, or if you like, our Ram consciousness, this is the same, our God consciousness, this will be nourished and protected and it will develop
and become strengthened, and it will become a lot richer. This is the result. So please, while we're having this festival, like now we're going to read about the appearance, or not actually the appearance, but some of the pastimes of Lord Ram. In fact, right now we're going to read about Lord Ram killing Ravan. Dramatic pastime. So try to absorb your minds in hearing about this and let it go into your heart. Yes, this will be very good for you. And it will bring us all closer to the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And that is the perfection of life, actually. So, therefore, we are going to read from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And we will begin, let us see, we will begin with verse 18. First of all though, you can please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, beginning with text 18. I'll read the Sanskrit of this verse, and then I'll read the translation and the other verses. I'll just read the translations. Raksha patis tadavalokya nikumbakumba dum raksha durmukha surantakan naran takadin putram prahasta matikaya vikampanadin sarvanugan samahinod atakumbakarnam. Translation. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus, the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. We could just note one or two points here, and then we will read some more verses, and in a few verses Lord Ram kills Ravana. One point we can note though at this point is that Ravan, he has been described, referred to as Rakshapati. Raksha. Of course we might think that Raksha means to protect, but in this case it means something else. It is an abbreviated form of the word Rakshasa. Rakshasa. Ravan, he was Rakshapati or Rakshasapati, the leader of the Rakshasas. And Rakshasa means cannibal. He was a cannibal. And all his family members and friends, they were all cannibals, eaters of human beings. Of course, that is not very nice at all. We can all appreciate that fact. If you met someone and saw that they were looking at you in a rather admiring way, but then you found out that they were cannibals, you might not be so happy. Otherwise, you might think, oh, they're appreciating how sophisticated I am. But in this case, not so nice. Rakshasa, cannibal, is very terrible. Eater of human beings. Nowadays, of course, well, we don't want to embarrass anyone at all, but of course, I think we all know that to eat meat, to eat the flesh of animals, sheep and chicken and goats and fish and even cows, becoming more and more popular even amongst the Hindu community. So that is nothing very extraordinary, at least. In fact, it is more often than not, much more often than not, that people are doing that. So if you hear that someone, they're meat eaters in that sense, then you may not think anything of it. This is relatively normal by the standards of Kali Yuga. But if you hear that someone, your neighbor, is a cannibal, is eating human flesh, then you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. How? How is it possible they could do that? But this is going on, actually. This is going on in some places. But in those days, long time ago, then Ravan, he was the leader of a nation of Rakshasas, a nation of cannibals. And it was considered very nice that in the evening, if you could eat some human flesh, that was very good. So in other words, Ravan was not a nice person at all. But Rakshasa means demon. Very terrible person, demoniac person. In fact, Ravan, he kidnapped Mother Sita. And he took her to Lanka. And of course Ravan, he had many wives or girlfriends or whatever. He had many, many women. So she, Sita, Mother Sita, in a sense, was just another woman in his collection. But she was a very exceptional woman, of course, Mother Sita. Exceptionally beautiful and exceptionally cultured and just of the highest character, most qualified type of woman in all respects. So Ravan, he was very deeply affected by her, and he really wanted to win her over. But Mother Sita, of course, we know, she was completely dedicated to Lord Ram. There was no question of her considering any other man, not even momentarily within her mind. No possibility at all. So Ravan, every day, Ravan was coming to Sita and saying, "All right, Sita, have you thought about it? Will you accept me now?" And Sita was saying, "No, of course not. Never. Just go away. Just get out." Just rejecting him. So after about 1 month, Ravan was becoming a little frustrated, being rejected day after day and strongly rejected by Mother Sita. So eventually Ravan became too frustrated and too angry. And Ravan said to Sita, "I will give you another day, another 24 hours, one more day. And if you do not agree to accept me by tomorrow, when I come at this time tomorrow, if you're still refusing to accept me, then I will have you for breakfast the next day." So he was serious, actually. This is what he was thinking. Because he's a cannibal, Rakshasa, a very terrible person. And also, we could note here, and the point is also made a little later on, and in fact we will read that verse, that here it says that the soldiers of Lord Ram killed Ravana's soldiers, and Ravana's soldiers had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Sita. Because Sita was very angry, as we mentioned, with Ravan. And she was just cursing Ravan. So, Sita was so powerful that even though she never took any weapon and tried to physically attack Ravan or any of his soldiers or anyone, she never did anything like that at all. But still, in other ways, she was so powerful that all these soldiers, millions of soldiers died. Ravan's soldiers. They all died by the power of her anger, by the power of her cursing Ravan. So this is an interesting point for you ladies. Ladies, of course, are not known for being physically very big and strong. Although nowadays, of course, there is a fashion for ladies to go to the gym and do weightlifting and become big female Albert Schwarzeneggers or something like that. But this is not necessary, ladies. If you want to become powerful and really have some Shakti, you don't need to do like that. But if you are like Mother Sita, very cultured and chaste and faithful and maintaining high moral standards like this, like following in the footsteps of Mother Sita, then in this way women can become powerful, actually. Yes. And Sita, you see how powerful she was. So many millions of people died just because she was feeling angry. That's all. So, nowadays, of course, qualities like chastity, at least amongst the more sort of, you know, modern women, chastity may not be taken so seriously. But Mother Sita was very powerful because she was very chaste. And that Vedic society at the time of Lord Ram, it was like that. Moral principles were taken very seriously. Nowadays, girls, I mean, not all, but some girls, many girls even, they think that we must wear some mini skirt and all sorts of, you know, jazzy clothes and be some version of, you know, modern day version of the foxy lady. Something like this. Otherwise, we will not make it as women. Somehow, we will be disadvantaged. But no, it's not like that, really. That is just Kali Yuga. The detrimental, contaminating effects of Kali Yuga. But if ladies maintain these high qualities of chastity and faithfulness like this, being cultured women, then they can become very powerful, like Mother Sita. You may also know that in the battle of Kurukshetra, in Krishna's time, then it is said that many of the warriors on the side of Duryodhana, and even Duryodhana and Dushasana themselves, and even Bhishma himself, it is said that their lives were shortened also, because they disrespected Draupadi. Draupadi, you may know that incident. She was lost in the gambling match. And then Dushasana thought he would be very clever and undress her in public just to show that she is ours, and that the Pandavas, because she was the wife of the Pandavas, officially, but just to show that they couldn't do anything to help her. So he was undressing her. Krishna, of course, manifested as an endless sari to save her. So her honor was protected, but because that attempt was made to embarrass her and just degrade her, really, and she was extremely disturbed about that. So therefore it said, because those warriors, like Bhishma, Bhishma just sat there and did nothing. He didn't try to protect her, stop Dushasana. He just sat there and let it go on. And so many other warriors, they just sat there, even though they knew this is extremely wrong. But they just sat there and let it happen. So therefore it was said in Mahabharata that their lives were shortened because of that offense to her, to a chaste lady, a proper lady. So bear that in mind, ladies, if you want to become very powerful. Or anyway, it is just very nice to learn how to conduct oneself properly. So now we have Ravan is attacking Lord Ram. We're coming to the finale here. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravan, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, You are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen, in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravan, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. So now, there are two or three verses in which Mandodari, the wife, or the main wife at least, of Ravan, she is speaking to Ravan, the dead body of Ravan, actually. "O my Lord, O Master, you epitomize trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana." Ravana literally means he who makes other people cry. This is Ravana, and he fulfilled the purport of his name. He made so many people cry. "But now that you've been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra." So that is the same point again. Now Mandodari is addressing Ravana directly. "That is because of the curse of Sita that you have ended up like this. So bear that in mind, ladies. Of course, we don't want you cursing anybody. That might not work, actually, so don't try, all right? But just understand, in order to become powerful and just to be a proper human being, one should try and follow in the footsteps of Mother Sita. "O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell." So Ravana, he is like the first-class materialist, you could say. He is a big leader, amongst the materialistic people. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains what is like the essence of materialistic consciousness. He speaks as if he is a materialist, Krishna. He says, Ishvaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan, sukhi. This is how the materialistic person, particularly the staunch materialist, is thinking. Ishvaroham, I am the controller. Aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I am very qualified, in fact I am perfect. Balavan, I am very powerful. Sukhi, as a result I am very happy. So this is the essence of materialistic consciousness. And if we analyze our minds, or if any materialistic person at least, analyzes their minds and their hearts, then they will see that these types of consciousness are there within their hearts. Maybe not on the scale of Ravana, but still it's there, that people would like to become the controller, they would like to be the enjoyer, they would like to accumulate so many material things and be very influential and powerful, become very prominent and admired, get ahead in life. Generally, these factors are there in people's consciousness, at least to one degree or another, if they're on the material platform. But Ravana, he is like a first-class materialist, a leader amongst the materialists.